Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Luke 21, verse 33 to 36. Luke 21, verse 33 to 36. The title is, Cast Your Anxiety on the Lord. Cast Your Anxiety on the Lord. I'd like to read Luke chapter 21, verse 33 to 36. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your heart may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that they come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God. The worries in today's title is a Greek word is merimna, which means anxiety, fear, and worry. When this worry filled the heart, it caused the mind to become divided and anxious. Where did this worry come from? It originated when Adam fell, and as a result, the joy, delight, and happiness that were once in unity with God vanished. In their place, the worry brought by the devil took over. So Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. As you know, what God gives us is not worries, but true peace. Jesus said in the John chapter 14, verse 27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Amen. God reveals his heart to humans who are drawing in anxiety. In the Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God said, For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now that we are supposed to live in the true peace that God has given us through faith in Jesus, our hearts are full of worry and anxiety, and the Lord tells us in today's passage why. First, he says, be on guard. This doesn't just mean be careful, but to be careful that these things don't happen in the heart of those of us who are waiting for the end. He is warning us that if we are not careful, our minds will be turned from a spirit-filled life to one of debauchery and drunkenness, intoxicated with the joys and the cares of the world. We'll be turned from being of the spirit to being of the flesh. We'll be filled with the care of life, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, like the unbelieving Gentiles, and we will become insensitive to the will of God. So is Jesus is warning to us in the Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Be on guard that your heart may not be weighed down with dissipation and the drunkenness and the worries of life, that they come on you suddenly like a trap. The word for is a dulliness of mind. Here is a Greek is a paradoxin, which means to weigh down with something heavy. The idea is that the heart's desire to live according to God's will through faith in Jesus is pressed down, making it spiritually dull and unable to receive the Lord when he returns. The Lord is warning us that dullness of heart can be a trap for those of us who are to receive the blessing of eternal life and can lead us into a place of judgment. The Lord says the same thing in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. I like to read it. And the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It warns that the worries of the world, the temptation of wealth, and other desire prevent those who have received the word from bearing the fruit of eternal life that leads to holiness. Worries and the temptation of riches have been a terror to the human heart since Adam left the Garden of Eden. Once blessed by God with an all-sufficient supply of all things, humans were separate from God in the fall, and that all-sufficient supply was cut off. There is only so much this world can provide. The horror of survival had set in. Therefore, in order to make more of what is limited, we end up taking from others in order to make more of what is ours. Worst of all, humans, unable to see the future, have come to live a life of accumulating all resources in order to prepare for the futures. The problem is that this way of life puts God's will aside and focus our attention on making a living, leaving us without faith in God. So God warned against this numerous times. I like to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 32. I like to read the verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than the food and the body than clothing? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The Jews living under Roman oppression at the time were not without the anxiety and worry, and the survival issues threatened their lives on a daily basis, including unjust taxation and the extreme disparity between rich and poor. Under this circumstance, the Lord's words, do not be anxious, could have sounded crazy, but the Lord was making it clear that He is in control of all human history and is Lord of all things, and He is in charge of the living of those He has made His children. Amen. For those who doubt, He speaks through the birds of the air. No one values them as they are, merely creatures of the sky, yet God feeds and cares for them. He reassures us, saying, if I take care of even the birds, how much more will I protect you who I have made my children? This brings comfort and peace, isn't it? But for those who still do not believe, He continues, is Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Why, it could be interpreted that you can add a man's stature by worrying. It is referring to a man's lifespan. That meaning, can you add an hour to your life by worrying? The answer is that there is nothing that finite human can do. He is saying again, but there is no benefit to worrying. For those who still do not believe that he used really to illustrate this point, in this case, the lilies are wild flowers. King Solomon's lavish garment, which he wore to show off his wealth and glory to the peoples, were nothing compared to the beauty of a single wild flower. He is asking us to consider the extent of God's protection and love for his chosen peoples who are so attentive to the smallest of things. Oh, you of little faith, he emphasized, not to worry about food, clothing, and shelter, because God, who cares for us, will provide. The Lord is emphasizing that the Christ followers should not be concerned about their own interest or survival, but should live a life that seeks the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Seeking the kingdom of God means that those who renounce all self-will and submit to God's rule, who accept the word and live by it, will enter the kingdom of God. Fulfilling God's righteousness is not about performing formal good deeds to please others, but about believing in the sender, Jesus Christ, and the centering all of life over him. In doing so, he continued in the Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, talk to us, "Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Worry often refers to being concerned about tomorrow or distant future event. It is worrying about things that haven't happened yet and most likely won't happen at all. In reality, tomorrow doesn't exist for us. It becomes the future. Look at this. But when we reach tomorrow, it becomes today, and there will be always be another tomorrow. This means we live in today, not in tomorrow. So there is no point in worrying today about tomorrow, which hasn't even come yet, or about things that might happen. What matters now is how I am spending today. If you don't have any concern about what happened today, it would be wrong. If you don't have anything to eat today and you are just sitting there thinking about it, you are not doing enough. Of course, what happens today, tomorrow, and all the time belongs to God. But remember, we can do something about what happened today. But what happened tomorrow is entirely in God's hands. Worries is Satan's way of working in us, causing us to use a lot of imagination, giving us useless thought, causing us to think of things that are not there. In short, Satan is deceiving us. Today, God is speaking to us about the task we must focus on today. He urges us not to worry about tomorrow or the future, but to dedicate ourselves to the work of his kingdom and his righteousness without allowing the world or the devil to distract our heart. Obviously, as we walk for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we have to suffer the afflictions that come from the world, because we live in the world, and There are many times when those afflictions are hard for us to bear. Those who don't have money live in constant anxiety because they don't have enough money. Those who have money are always worried about how to keep it. People of this world live by laying up treasure on earth. They place the highest value on life in this world and are always worried because of their desire to be well fed and live well in this world. But we, the believers, the saints, are those who live by storing up treasure in heaven. Amen. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. God ordered to us, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thief does not break in or steal. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do not set your heart on earth, but on heaven. Let's read another one. Is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For only in this way can we become heavenly things. According to the Hebrew chapter 11, verse 16, the Bible said, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. We live as Jesus said, knowing that we are blessed to be poor in this world, mourning and suffering, so that we are not so much worried with the presence or absence of earthly goods. Above all, those of us who believe are those who believe in God's word. Those who believe in his word are those who obey it. The Apostle Peter, by believing in Jesus' word, obeying them, and acting upon them, experienced the power of the word. This is why, with confidence, he proclaimed the Lord's message to us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He said, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. We've heard these words many times, but there we truly cast all our cares on the Father in faith. Those who have cast their cares and received an answer from God are certainly not anxious. They say they cast their cares in words, but they take them back with them. Isn't it? The reason for this is the lack of spiritual experience in which the word is realized in our own lives. We need to believe this word so deeply that it becomes like a seal on our heart. What we must do is to pray and make our request known to God with thanksgiving in everything, asking him for what we need. I like to really strongly recommend over these scriptures. The Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. I like to read, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. But there is something we should really be concerned about. From the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 to 29, I like to read, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is ready to intercede without my intense concerns? You know, the church in Corinth had many problems. The Apostle Paul, with deep concern and great love, prayed for them. He prayed for each and every believer, for those whose faith was weak or who were falling into sin. He prayed with a passionate heart. The church is one. With Jesus as the head, we are all members of one body. When one part of the body hurts, doesn't the whole body feel the pain? Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 26. I like to read, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. 26 verse, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen. When the pain of others becomes my pain, and my pain becomes the pain of others, that is the normal church, the normal body, right? If we, the first church, are truly one body in Jesus, then we should share the pain and burdens together. But are you pretending that it's just me, or are you not doing anything to bear your pain? Or are you not raining your pain on others? So is it the scripture to order us in the Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 and 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 and 5. I like to read, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. When we take charge of each other's concerns, we build up the unity of the church and give it great strength to win the battle against Satan. Let's look at the law, chapter 15, verse 1. I like to read, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just to please ourselves. We also desire to stop the worldly worries that lead to death and for the sake of the church to only experience the kind of sorrow and sorrow that come from following God's will. And finally, through repentance, may we, with the spiritual indignations and in accordance with God's will, bring the church to repentance so that all who come to salvation will be those who fear and long for the word and possess the strength to rebuke evils. We bless and pray that all may become such a peoples. I like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 to 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 10 to 11. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produce a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produced death. There is no way to overcome all the cares, anxieties, and worries that befall the church except to believe in the word and the promise of God, to believe without the slightest doubt that they will be fulfilled, and to pray without ceasing in all things with thanksgiving to God. What is the long life of faith? We must do all things by faith. I bless all the members of the First Church who possess the faith to believe that there is nothing impossible for those who believe. You know that the Mark chapter 9 verse 23. And move forward with vigor. Let's try. Let's read together and close the sermon. Please open your Bible, John chapter 4, verse 48 to 53. John chapter 4, 48 to 53. Did you find that? Okay, we'll read together. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said therefore to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. Amen.